I want you to struggle, and I want you wrestling with them angels.
Here he is, from Auburn University, Bo Jackson.
The correct Jordan Hare Stadium time is 8:49 Central Daylight Time. Greetings and salutations, Orange and Truthers. Your digital audio device is tuned into the Orange and True podcast, harbored by College of Magnolia. I am Son of Crow, Drew Croson, at Son of Crow 2 on Twitter. Son of Crow on Venmo. You can call me Crow. To one side of me, the rumor monger, Ryan S. Starrett. The S is for season begins this week.
Something like that.
The other side of me, giving you full Fort Payne ASMR. A man who was at Coyotes until 4 a.m. A man who knows what it's like to have his name on the list at a bar. AU Chief.
Thought you were going to start singing Behind Blue Eyes by Pink Floyd.
Knows what it's like to go to Coyotes.
Yep. Goodbye, Coyotes. It was great. It was great fun. So I'm excited about Southeastern. I did get a sneak preview of that.
You got a early review of Southeastern?
Yeah. Went over there and walked through with a friend of the pod, Big Dave Mullins.
Oh, man. And, shout out, Big Dave.
And we got to look in. It's got a huge kitchen. It's a huge bar. It's bigger than you can imagine. It's right up the street from Sky Bar. It's really nice on the inside. TV's everywhere. It's great.
When's the grand opening?
I know that it's going to open this week.
Okay.
Be on the lookout. There may be a big musical act announced for later this week.
Is it going to be 17th floor?
Blackberry Breeze? Man.
You are close. It is not 17th floor. Okay. I wish it was 17th
floor. It's 18th floor, guys.
It's 17th floor.
But
is it Trotline?
No, I can't.
Is it the pigs?
You'll keep guessing okay. And you'll get it, and so I can't tell it on air. I don't want to spill the beans.
Got to guess. I don't want to ruin it.
Man, I hope it's the people.
I'll tell you guys off.
Hope it's delicious.
I'll tell you, dudes. I'll tell you guys off air.
All right, 1 second. We got to take a quick break. Jack, put some ads in here early, and we're going to come back. And Chief is going to give us a countdown to kickoff. Brought to you by Carnell Cadillac Williams.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Three, and we're back. And like I said, Chief, we do this thing on collegeofmagnolia.com, which you should go to the website, collegeofmagnolia.com, the corner of Auburn and the internet. And where Ryan has spearheaded this venture, and he's done a really good job.
Never doing this again.
It's been a drag. It's been like herding cats for Ryan, though.
Yeah.
Getting other people to help out.
Getting myself to actually do it.
The best part was when he tried to ask me to do a couple, and I was like, oh, boy. All right.
Yeah. Or Friday when he's like, Chief's doing Carnell, I think. I was like, oh no, I forgot about that.
So instead of doing it in written form like we have been doing, which they've been really good, go on there and read them. You can read about how many hits and misses Auburn's had in recruiting. We've actually had more hits than misses if you get to this point in the countdown.
Auburn is just like any other school. Yeah. There's plenty of busts and plenty of success stories. Yeah.
And when you look at that top end, the busts look bigger, but the successes also look bigger.
Yeah.
So, Chief, how many days is this to kick off?
This is number six, so you probably won't hear this until later in the week.
But so the number six overall recruit in the history of Auburn University.
Mm-hmm. Is based off of the 24/7 composite. Like, we're not ranking these ourselves.
Right. Is a man named Carnell Cadillac Williams, currently Coach Caddy, former NFL Rookie of the Year.
This is Carnell is one of his recruitment was in the early days of online recruiting sites and rankings too. And he's the first recruit whose name I knew. And I think it's probably because he's from my area.
He's about your age too, right?
Yeah, he's a year older than me.
Right.
But it's the first guy. Probably helps that I played him in against him in basketball too. So it was like, hey, this guy we're playing in basketball is a big football recruit.
Just a little behind the scenes. I wanted Chief to write the countdown article as Carnell as a basketball recruit, but he wouldn't do that.
So. I don't think, let me put it this way. I don't think anybody was trying to get Carnell to come play basketball for him.
No.
He was
fast, I imagine, but
an athletic freak. Like, I mean, that's just what he is. And so he didn't have to be extremely skilled at basketball to be pretty good at it. I don't think anybody was trying to get him.
No Nick Marshall.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. No dual threat Nick Marshall. Carnell.
What do you mean, like, the recruitment was the first that was online? What do you mean by that?
Well, it was from the early days. It was one of the early days of online recruitment. I think Rivals was one of the first that I can remember. I think they probably started in 1998, somewhere around in there. His recruitment would have been the 2000-2001 school year. So right. He's from the very early
days. He's in the 2000 signing class.
Yeah.
So the early days of like, scout.com.
Yeah. Yeah. He was just a legend in the area that I was in. He, if he was coming to play your school, everybody was interested. Big part of that was I don't know if he was ever committed. He was a heavy lean to Alabama.
Yeah. And that's an Alabama stronghold.
Yeah. Oh, North Alabama in general is, Huntsville is not really anymore, I don't think.
Got all them Auburn engineers up there.
Right. And I think the other part of that is there's a lot of people not from the state.
Yeah.
But in that area, everybody's an Alabama fan. You're kind of a weirdo. You probably went to college if you're an Auburn fan. Or you're a banker.
At Auburn.
You went to
college
at Auburn. Right, right.
Yeah. Or just college in general.
Yeah. or you're a banker or... I don't know what else they do there.
Well, how big of schools were, because Edwards were...
So, Edwards was
not Gadsden High.
No, that's controversial.
Okay.
Recruitment going on, maybe?
Probably.
Okay.
I don't know the big... I don't know if there's any big controversy over Carnell. I just know that Edwards tended to get...
Edwards was known to get who they wanted.
Edwards is located in Rainbow City, Atala.
Rainbow City is a real place?
Yes.
Now
someone's never driven up 431.
Rainbow City.
Rainbow City and Atala, they're tiny little places, county cities outside of Gadsden. Gadsden was split up into like four different schools, and now they just have Gadsden City, which is one of the biggest schools in the state. But then Etowah would pick off some of the best talent in football from those places.
So is this like one of the big schools, or is Etowah like a 3A?
Etowah was 5A at that time.
Okay.
When Carnell was there. And they kind of bounce around. I think they might be 6A now.
Okay.
And I think they may have moved up like Fort Payne did.
Like he was just dominating against a team with 50 kids or 20 kids on
it. No, he was playing in 5A. We were in the same area. I'm trying to think of maybe a bigger school you guys would know, but at that time, I don't really know.
Crow's, you can't think of a single one.
Yeah.
I mean, Fort Payne High is...
Yeah. It played Fort Payne. Gadsden was also in our area.
So you saw him play high school football. Just untouchable as a high school
I remember him more as a defensive player. He was the best safety I've ever seen in my life. Like, he was wherever.
Like an Ed Reed quality. Yeah.
No, dude, it was like that on a high school football field. And I like that was my biggest takeaway. I was like, this guy can play both ways.
Yeah.
He was just, and a part of that is, I don't know how that would have translated to Division I football. He was just such a better athlete than everybody else that he.
No, I mean, it wasn't unheard of in the late 90s and early 2000s to have 2A players.
Yeah.
I mean, you had Charles Woodson.
Right. But. And he was really great. He's great safety. Running backs, he was good. I mean, he was good.
Yeah.
Like, there's no...
Right.
The impression on me was how good of a safety he was. And I've stood by that all these years. I think he could have been a better safety than he was a running back.
Wow.
So who played safety for Auburn in the early...
on those 2000... Green.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, say you have Ronnie Brown as just the primary back. Is Cadillac at safety? Is he making a huge impact on the Auburn defense?
Well, I think Rob Pate was a safety when Carnell got here.
Right. But like for the 2003 and 2004 teams.
Yeah, so your Rose Green is the main one. You have Rose Green, Carlos Rogers, and Cadillac.
So it's not like Auburn was hurting for safety at that point either.
But
And Will Herring.
Yeah, Will Herring.
A little later on, I think.
Will was on that
04 team.
Yeah, he was.
And he was playing safety for that 04 team, so it was him.
He moved to linebacker later.
Moved to linebackers last year. I think he might have been better than Will at safety. I mean, Will is fine. I think Will's a great safety for us, but, I mean, what I saw Carnell do in high school was absurd as a safety.
So you're saying, you're talking about an alternate universe in which Auburn has... Right. Auburn's two-way monster in 04 is... Brandon Jacobs, and Ronnie Brown,
with Carnell safety. Trey Smith.
Hey, okay. We've had running backs. Guys come here to play running back to end up playing safety.
We have two in the secondary right now.
Yeah, Brandon Jacobs was a linebacker for Auburn before he transferred. Before he finally was like, you know, I'm not playing defense.
Yeah,
they made him move to linebacker.
Yeah, Carnell was just he was a vent.
He was appointment television.
Appointment television, but you were there. You went to see him. I think it was that way in every city that he played in. Like I said, because he was in Alabama League. And then some funny stuff happened towards the end of his recruitment. In the waning days of before signing day, he took an official visit to Tennessee, I think. And the word was, he's committed to Tennessee. And then, of course, that got the Alabama people real... revved up. They were pretty
angry. They're a real rival.
It is their biggest rival.
And then all of a sudden, he signs with Auburn. And we had been in the mix, but it was... I remember thinking, oh my gosh, we just did this. Because most of the people I knew that followed recruiting really heavily were all Alabama people. And they were upset. And I was just... just over here just laughing.
Because so this is in Tuberville's first full signing class too, right?
Carnell would have been 01.
He was in the 01 class, but
right. So
Tuberville didn't get a full recruiting cycle until that year.
And Tuberville probably sent him on clean living and drinking whole milk and doing the right thing, going to class, making good grades. And that was what got him here.
Well, as James Jones pointed out to us today, Tubbs took the entire coaching staff to his house. To meet with his mama,
which is allowed.
Yeah, and their pitch, I guess, was to her, wanting, got him to come here because she was, as I understood it at the time as well, she was heavily influential. She liked Tennessee. That's why. And someone else in his family really wanted him to go to Alabama. There's a lot of heavy Alabama boosters up in that area.
Sure.
So. I'm sure there was immense pressure on him to go to Alabama.
I can't imagine, Tubbs selling him there. Can you imagine being like the defensive backs coach or the defensive line coach, and you're at this lady's house, and you're like, what are we doing here? This
is not my recruit. Well, I'll tell you this. They'd all seen him play, so they would have all known exactly why they were there.
Well, it's not like he was just, a four-star, we kind of want this guy. I mean, he was a five-star. The hype was there. He's one of the best recruits in the country.
Was he the number one running back that year?
He may have been.
I would think he probably was. I mean, the dude was just
if he's the number six insane. Overall recruit in Auburn history, I imagine he's the number one or number two running back in his class.
Yeah.
Ronnie wasn't in that class, was he? He was the next year.
No,
Ronnie may have been in that class, too.
I think Ronnie was in that class, too.
Yeah.
And
Ronnie was a four-star.
They were the same age.
I ran for. I think Ronnie went to a triple option high school, which is hilarious thought.
He's from Florida, right?
Ronnie. No, he's from Georgia.
Oh, small. Yep, tiny town.
Small school.
So we were talking about the side of the school. Etowah's, I mean, it's the place where it is tiny. It's out in the middle of nowhere. Itala, and they're more like suburbs with like their own small city kind of organization around them. People that are from these places probably hating how I'm talking about them right now, but
full of stupid people.
I mean, Gadsden's the biggest city in that little region right there, and especially at that time. So it's funny. It just felt like you were going out in the middle of nowhere when you went to Etowah school, but
You were going out in the middle of nowhere.
You were, pretty much, yeah. And, I mean, they'd feel that way if they were going to Fort Payne.
So, let's, you know, well, while we've been doing these countdown articles, we've been talking about him as a recruit and a player.
Yeah.
You guys were in school while he was here. What is your one signature Cadillac's memory?
I'm an Auburn fan because of Cadillac Williams. I'm sitting in this chair because of the 2003 Iron Bowl and Cadillac Williams busting a run off right tackle for 90 whatever yards or 80 whatever yards to the house on the first play of the 03 Iron Bowl.
Yeah.
In that moment, I told my brother, yeah, I'm coming to Auburn. Because that, I mean, that was it. 17th floor, played that weekend at the Fiji House. I had a blast.
Golly.
And then I went to the 03 Iron Bowl.
It's like the best Auburn weekend ever. Yeah. And that, it never got any better than that.
Oh, yeah. That was it. 03 Iron Bowl, I'm showing up as a senior in high school. I go to a fraternity band party, dance with college girls, see the 03 Iron Bowl, and see Cadillac Williams break one off on the first play of the game. And I'm like, this is it. Here's to feeling good all the time.
Oh, man. Yeah, that was, I mean, anybody that saw that, that has to be in their memory. But for me, though, it was before I came here as well, is what Carnell did to Alabama in the opening of the 01 Iron Bowl before he had his collarbone broke. He had run for nearly 100 yards in the first like 5 minutes of the game or something like that. It was like insane. And then he broke his collarbone and we ended up struggling and then losing. So, but that, it wasn't the breaking of the collarbone. It's what he did to them before then. I was like, oh my gosh, he is amazing.
Yeah.
My memory of Cadillac, and you know, take in mind I'm 7 to 8 years old when he's at Auburn, is that, and it's not a specific memory, it's just that he was simultaneously the best player on the planet that couldn't stay healthy. Mm-hmm. That's all I had in my head. Yeah. I was like, well, man, I've always heard he's really good, but oh, he's not playing today.
No. I'm going to be honest with you, that's how I have always kind of felt about him too, is he got hurt at the worst times. It's not his fault.
No.
He got hurt in that Florida game, and we lost the Florida game. He got hurt the Alabama game and missed the rest of the season then.
Yeah. Does he have a similar reputation, not skill level, but just reputation-wise, that Kerryon gets? Now, when we look back at Kerryon in 10, 15 years, is it, man, he was awesome, but he got hurt at the worst time? And yeah, Carnell wasn't like the primary. No, sorry, Kerryon wasn't the primary back for 4 years
because of 04.
Yeah, because he had his 04.
Because we went undefeated in 04.
Yeah.
Had Kerryon had
Kerryon come back last year and then rushed for 1,000 yards,
or even at, like, let's say Kerryon doesn't get hurt in 17.
Yeah,
and Auburn beats Georgia in the SEC championship game, goes to the playoff. We completely forget that Kerryon used to get hurt a lot. Because now it's, oh my gosh, we had this. He had the best 3-game stretch in Auburn.
The thing that Carnell has that Kerryon doesn't is Carnell could have left and he came back.
Yeah.
Truthfully, I was always more of a Ronnie guy. I liked watching Ronnie run better. I know it's like blasphemy to say that.
No, I wrote that in the article. I was a Ronnie guy, but I'm a Ben Tate guy.
I like Ben Tate as well.
Yeah.
I like the big guy that's faster than you think he is. But the thing Carnell had was probably better field vision than anybody except maybe Barry Sanders.
He was unbelievable.
I mean, the guy knew where that hole was going to be. Not where it was, where it was going to be. And he could run to it. He could get out of trouble. He could move. He could cut so fast, the guys could not get to him to tackle him.
Ronnie had the run against Tennessee the first time we played him in 04.
Right.
That everyone remembers. But people forget about Cadillac's run against Tennessee the second time we played him. In the SEC championship game, where he jukes a guy out of his cleats on a dime, and he's full speed, and then makes the cut, and it's full speed the other way.
That's one of those skills a lot of people don't have, is that it's just one cut, and your top speed never.
You never stop. Yeah. He never slows.
There's a reason he won. He was the rookie of the year because he was that good.
His jersey and cleats are in Canton, Ohio,
because
he had it's like the highest rushing game in the history of the NFL for a rookie.
Yeah,
his rookie year,
and he's one of the three most talented football players I've seen play in person at all.
Probably. Yeah.
Just from natural ability and I mean, you can't. I don't think you could do what he did without the hard work either. And I think that's.
Here's the weird thing about Cadillac is that Cadillac was so famous.
He was so famous.
So famous.
He had a name. So that's the
Cadillac. The name helps.
When we were in college,
the name is probably when I was more of a Ronnie guy.
Like, I don't know if there was anybody when you were at Auburn, but maybe Nick Marshall or Trey Mason. Maybe.
No.
But when Chief and I were at Auburn, if you were at Foy, Cadillac walked in, everybody in the building knew that Cadillac had walked in. It was like an oxygen level in the room went down.
The only other guy
went all to him.
The only guy that's has done that is Cam.
Yes, right. That's got to be it. Like you would see, like I'd see Jason Campbell all the time.
He always had the tree by Foy.
Yeah, it was like, oh, it's Jason Campbell. But like Carnell, like people be like, oh my god, it's Carnell. You see him, and it's like how does this guy go to class?
The difference is that Cam was and is. This larger-than-life personality that goes with that.
Right.
Carnell was just this unassuming, fairly quiet guy.
This is before everybody had their headphones, their Beats headphones, and could walk around with their hood and their Beats headphones, and nobody'd see him.
He's an unassuming-looking guy. Like, he doesn't look like he's trying to be famous, but man alive, him and Ronnie both. When they walked into the building you were in, everybody was hitting each other and going, Ronnie Brown.
I think, and you know, that's, I think this goes back to the,
he was famous.
The beginning of the internet recruiting. I think he was so famous in part because of that.
Yeah.
Because people our age, more people our age had gotten into that stuff. They would have been 16, 17, 18, maybe already in college. And he was famous to them before he ever even got to Auburn.
Right.
So then there's this guy. There. Also, he had done a lot of electrifying stuff like before you.
Yeah.
That 03 Iron Bowl had happened before you got here, so everybody that came with you knew him as that guy.
Right.
And so when they would see him, they'd be like, oh my God.
Yeah, when I saw him on campus, that's the first thought I had was Go Crazy Cadillac.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my gosh, that's
and that's Rod's first signature call, right?
That's Cadillac of Go Crazy Cadillac.
We're gonna hear that in the stadium in
a couple weeks. Yes. That was going to be what my article was going to end up being, is just the video of Crazy Cadillac.
Well, so I think we've done it.
Just kind of to wrap it up, though, he went to the NFL, Rookie of the Year.
Yep.
Kind of flamed out, mostly because of injuries after that.
Yeah, flamed out because
he stuck around for a few more years, but he just
for about seven, eight years, I think. But
yeah, he was never the same. Though. Right. He was never a leader.
His rookie year was his best year. I think it's safe to say Ronnie had a better NFL career than because he was longer
and so
upward trajectory rather than skyrocketing.
Right.
He played for
the Bucks for a long time.
From 05 to 2011.
So six seasons.
He played
for the Bucks.
He played for the Bucks and then that was then the Rams. Yep. Played with the Rams in 2011.
I
want to
say that was just a practice.
Yeah, game. I think he went there.
No, he was the backup to Steven Jackson, and he had 91 yards on 19 carries.
Yeah.
And that was kind of just a backup in 11. Right. That was it.
So after that, he goes into coaching and isn't in coaching that long before Gus gives him the call that Auburn wants to bring him in. And this is just past offseason. Haven't seen how he's affected the guys in the field yet. But all things considered, he's been recruiting basically. What we've been missing on recruiting is recruiting big running backs.
Yep.
Yeah.
And he's doing that for us.
Because he walks in the room and goes, yeah, you ain't nothing, kid.
Like, right.
I was famous as a 17-year-old. Like,
so Auburn has got a commit from the number 6 running back, I think, for next year. The number 4 running back for the class after that. You know, recruiting is what it is.
Yeah.
We'll see if they come here or not.
I think you just hit on something, though, pretty significant. When Carnell was the recruit. He was the recruit. He was the biggest thing ever. Now, the internet, I guess it gives more reach to the big recruits, but there's a bunch of them.
There's very rarely the recruit anymore.
Right. Mm-hmm. And he was one of the biggest recruits in the country, and he wasn't a lineman. He was a skilled player from the state of Alabama.
It's the running back era, too.
Right. Yes, exactly. It was the era of the running backs, and where that's what everybody wanted. That's how you won games, is you got the best running back. And as James Jones put in our chat, it's probably made Tuberville's career signing Carnell.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And
it changed Auburn football in terms of Big Fish. Like, what Auburn fans expect from recruiting changed.
Right. Yeah. I think that's absolutely true. But like I said, I wasn't paying that much attention to recruiting, but it was still like, man, who cares? Okay, you guys are fired up about this guy. And then he signs with us, so.
Yeah.
But let's hope that maybe it changes the game again for Auburn here.
Only good things happen when Cadillac's on campus. All right. Jack is going to make that a segment on its own. A bonus segment, as they say. Right now we have a little bit of podcast business we want to take care of.
I'm going to hit a break first.
We hit a break already. Well, we hit it early in the show.
Well, how long
does it take? Let's book in the Cadillac segment.
Yeah, we can.
All right, another break. Give them some more ads. You probably heard, I just heard a great ad about it, a podcast from Eater.com. I'm sure it's great. We love our friends at Eater.com. Yeah. Speaking of eating, what do you do when you eat, Chief? What do you need when you're to wash down an
ice cold Coors Light?
You drink.
Well, you know what? When you have one of those drinks that Ryan's talking about, you need something to keep that drink cold. And let me tell you what keeps a drink the coldest. A koozie. And you know what we've got? Orange and True koozies.
That's right.
We got them for sale. We haven't listed a price yet.
Don't know how we're going to sell them.
We don't know how we're going to sell them. But if you would like an Orange and True koozie, they look great. Ryan's going to probably put a picture of one on our Instagram.
We have an Instagram, guys. I don't know if we ever said that.
Oh, yeah. At College and Mag.
I think so.
Twitter.com/College and Mag. Instagram, College and Mag. Ryan's going to... I took a picture and put it in the Slack.
I wonder how hard it would be to set up a shop on ClassicMalik.net for...
That's probably get a Shopify account. Probably do some downshipping, if you want, onto ClassicMalik.net. I don't know how ethical that is.
If we need a forum, I don't know. Yeah.
ClassicMalik.net.
I'm not selling ads on
that
there.
Should be our forum for online shopping. Anyway, they're good-looking koozies. They're going to be at the tailgate. We don't have an official College of Mag tailgate, but the unofficial College of Mag tailgate.
Yeah.
We'll have them.
At the South Quad parking deck.
South Quad parking deck with the AU Squid, James Jones. Yeah, and that's all I got about koozies. If you want one, get one.
I kept my drink nice and not boiling at Quixote's this weekend, where it was 8,000 degrees inside.
It was toasty.
It was not cool.
Does the Southeastern have air conditioning?
Oh, it does.
Okay.
It does. So does Quixote's, but...
I don't think they were running it too much on the last night.
No, you can stand right under the vent, and it was only 98 degrees.
Wow. Man, I really missed out. guys, Auburn soccer played two meaningful games.
Yeah.
Three meaningful games, I think. Let me go real quick. You guys talk a little bit about how excited you are.
I saw volleyball won a friendly scrimmage today.
Do volleyballs have friendlies? Is that,
I guess.
Is that the term?
I don't know. They call it
they're playing against Argentina?
I don't know. I don't know who they play. So actually, I will tell you. No. Anyway, it was on Twitter. Saw they won 2-1.
There you go.
I don't know what that means in volleyball.
Starting the year off with a win.
That's what I believe. Two games to one.
Is it sets? Games? I don't know.
You know, volleyball's fun. Nobody plays it.
Volleyball is super fun. There's a club team that Auburn has for its co-ed. They're a fun time.
I remember getting at the Auburn-Georgia volleyball match, which was just before the Auburn-Georgia football game in 2017, actually. I got to do the on-court trivia between games, and it was all about the Auburn-Georgia rivalry. Thought I had it in the bag. Guess what? Wow. I didn't.
Did you let us down?
Yeah, because the group of sorority girls across the court were looking at our answers first.
Oh. Great.
And then just writing down whatever we put.
Unbelievable.
And
cheating.
We all guessed on the last question.
Oh,
so.
Man.
Cheaters never win. Well, guys.
But they did win.
Auburn is Auburn's 0-1 on the year, mainly because Auburn didn't play its second game.
What happened?
First game against South Florida, number 14 South Florida. Auburn lost 2-1.
And the very end of the game.
At the 90th minute, literally, she scored at the death, as it's called in soccer. And that game was only available on YouTube through the South Florida.
Yes, South Florida's YouTube channel.
God, it stunk to watch. I didn't watch the whole game because I was like, I cannot put up with this. Nets are going to be watching on Twitch, but...
Man, I can't believe we lost in the last possible second.
And then against Florida Gulf Coast, the weather won that match.
Exactly. It really is the death in a college soccer game because they don't go over 90 minutes.
Right. So at the death, we lost. And then at FGCU, home of Jared Harper's brother, we...
Fergie time.
Did not play.
What'd you say? Fergie time is also what it's referred to when you score a goal that way.
Oh, because of Sir Alex Ferguson? Yeah. Sir Alex Ferguson, Ryan, was the manager, slash coach. Manager is what they call him in soccer. Coach, what they call him in America.
They're starting to call him coaches more over there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Of Manchester United. And Manchester United was famous for scoring at the end because the referees would just kind of add more time.
Yeah, to yeah. Give them like... They'd add 4 minutes on and then let them play for six more until they...
So they were taking advantage of dumb soccer rules where there's no official clock.
Absolutely.
Florida Gulf Coast, that game was suspended because of the weather.
So what do we got this week?
Our next game, we play the University of Maryland Terrapins.
Terps.
In a tournament.
Scott Van Pelt's Maryland Terrapins.
Yeah, I guess it's a tournament. We're playing them in Athens, Georgia. And then Sunday we play VT in Athens, Georgia. Which, guys... My wife's family's lake house is like an hour from Blacksburg, Virginia.
Yeah.
We got to get a home and home.
Like, oh, I would love it.
Alan Green, if you're listening to this.
Bring up we've already got like a decade of non-con games slated, but.
A home and home against Tech, and I can go stay at the lake house?
We'll do it for basketball. How about
that?
That might be.
We'll get into my annoyance with the announcing games that are like 8 years in the future later. In a later episode.
Where the kids that are in fifth grade are to play.
Yeah. It's annoying.
So again, our next home game, our first home game, the home opener is September 5 against the Syracuse Orange Women.
Mm. Yeah. We'll talk more about that match after we discuss how we beat Oregon.
And that'll be on SEC Network, a real channel, not YouTube.com.
Yeah. What if you have YouTube TV, though? Is it still a real channel?
Well, then it is, because it's YouTube TV.
Okay.
But if you have to search... this University of South Florida
Dragon channel,
and pray to God that it's not some kid opening a box of shoes to show what they look like on his feet. Man, that's all it's on YouTube these days, unboxing videos. Yeah.
Do we want to talk about maybe the biggest news in the Auburn universe? We've kind of put it off because it happened, 6 hours after our last episode dropped?
I really don't know what you're talking about.
I'm stumped, Ryan. Totally stumped. Oh, the Bo Nix.
We announced.
We already knew.
Okay.
Yeah. We announced it. We broke the news. We broke the news
because Jack put the episode out at like 7 in the morning, which I did not see coming. Thanks, Jack.
We broke that news. Yeah, I didn't know you were talking about that. I literally was like, what else? What
I woke up and that's so far up.
We didn't know. Air quotes.
Well, I think we were so confused.
I think everybody kind of knew.
We were so confused because we were already running under the assumption.
Right. Weekend before the announcement, it was kind of clear that Bo was going to be the quarterback.
Yeah. He handled it pretty well, I thought. His opening.
Yeah, there's nothing we can really say at this point that hasn't already been said. I mean, this is the job he's been training for since he was 10 years old.
He was literally born to do this. So.
Yeah.
That puts a lot of pressure on him, I think.
But without a doubt.
I think maybe that's part of what he's been training for is the pressure of that situation. So,
here's the thing. I had a parody song about Bo Nix written in my head at church this morning and cannot remember what it was.
The worst.
And it's just killing me. I'm sitting here trying to remember it.
You'll remember it when we're done.
Yeah, I know. It wasn't Bo Nix. It wasn't that, but that just came into my head. But
you can go with the.
His mind is always working.
Bird is the word, but Bo Nix.
Oh man,
Bo Nix.
It's. I think Justin Ferguson wrote that it's the shortest name in the history of Auburn.
Yeah,
Auburn Letterman. Yeah.
Yeah.
He actually wrote that before he signed. He said if we signed him, he would have the least. Names because it's only
and they say the Athletic doesn't.
In other news, Chief can't count.
Is his full name Bo?
Yep.
Wow.
He's totally named after Bo Jackson, right?
Yeah.
You would imagine Bo's name though is not Bo.
Right.
No, it's.
I don't think his name. Okay, are we going to start calling him Vincent Nix?
I wish
we should start
Vince Nix. Nix.
Guys, up next is Vince Nix and the Dusty Roses.
Sounds like a country man.
Country man for sure. Oh, man. But yeah, Bo Nix is our quarterback. That's pretty exciting. You know, you feel for the other guy, which is Joey Gatewood in this case, because he worked just as hard and by all accounts did well enough to maybe have won it himself.
Yeah, this isn't a job that Joey lost, which I think is what a lot of people were worried about. Is, oh, well, you know, if Bo's going to be a quarterback, Joey just must be awful.
Some of the takes on the internet.
All sorts of takes.
Were some of the work. I mean,
well, now what? What if Bo doesn't work out?
Yeah.
But man, what if anything doesn't happen?
What if football season gets canceled?
Like, what if he gets hurt? What if I have a cold? I can't go to the game. I'm like, what kind of question is that?
What if Gus has a stroke
and all of a sudden is calling passing
throughs of every down?
Who knows what's going to happen?
I mean, the worst takes. I mean, they get worse every time something happens, but these were the worst takes.
Yeah. It is Twitter.
Yeah.
Bad takes tend to happen.
We have a quarterback whose name is two syllables, and that's it. That's great.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it doesn't work backwards and forwards, as all great quarterback names do.
Zeno.
It's not Nick Bo.
He sounds like a Scientology.
Zenob.
Oh, fully backwards, okay.
It's a Zenob.
Zenob. Yeah, it's like a Scientology baddie.
Or like a Zenob could be a Kung Fu movie.
Or a Battlestar Galactica character.
Right.
Scientology, Battlestar Galactica, same thing.
Or he may have, maybe he taught Batman.
Don't get a suit here, Chief.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Ooh, man.
What was the name of Batman's mentor who ended up being a bad guy?
Ra's al Ghul.
Yeah, Ra's al Ghul.
Played by Liam Neeson.
But I think it's pronounced differently. Rage. People were mad about people how they pronounced it in the movie or some nonsense.
People are mad about how it was pronounced when it's a name that's written on a page.
Exactly. Comic book nerds undefeated at being mad.
It's kind of like nerd, yeah, harping on us for not knowing how to pronounce Prince Tega Winago. Winago. Sorry, nerd. We should probably know that.
Tega.
He is one of our best players.
Yeah, he's got a fun name to say too. Yeah.
Tega Winago.
I just call him Prince. Prince Tega is how everyone refers to him.
The lineman formerly known as Prince.
Yes, that would be.
Oh, that's man, that's terrific. Man, that's so good, Ryan.
Purple Rain. Let's
just quit the podcast right now.
Or Star Fishing Coffee, because that was an artist formerly known as.
Yeah.
So without really knowing anything about what Auburn or Oregon are going to be on the field this year,
yeah,
let's preview them.
Yeah,
like, we know what we're talking about.
They ran a Gus, Mouse on the counter tray.
My impression as someone who only watches Auburn now these days.
Yeah,
is exactly. That Oregon kind of stunk it up last year. So
they were an interesting case because they were not so good at the beginning of the year.
Yeah,
found their stride middle of the year and just fell apart in November.
Auburn 2017.
Yeah. So Sean White's quarterback
2016.
Yeah. Everybody likes this Sean White Oregon quarterback.
Yeah.
So Justin Herbert. That's the name you kind of have to know about Oregon. He's
Justin Herbert.
One of the top quarterbacks in the country. He's probably going to be a top five pick next year. Would have been a top five pick last year if he had gone to the draft.
Interesting. Why did he decide to not do that?
No one knows.
Wants to be the number one pick?
I honestly don't know why he came back. He's going to be still going up against a good quarterback class this year, so maybe he just had unfinished business. He wasn't a big-time recruit. He was like either a two or a three star, went to an FCS school, transferred into Oregon, and has been kind of tearing it up since he's gotten there.
Let me ask this. If you transfer in from FCS, do you have to sit out a year?
No.
Okay, that's what
I'm You're immediately eligible transferring to or from an FCS school.
I knew the two, since JSU gets everybody's cast offs. Okay, so Justin Herbert's the guy we got to watch out for.
He's got a great arm. Here's the thing is, it's not just him, though. Their offensive line is one of the best offensive lines in the country, and it's not the reputation that you would think of at Oregon. They do have some big guys up there. It's not like our guys are going to be able to push them around.
So, for our listeners, tell us how this team differs from the team that we faced in 2010.
This is not the read option team.
Right.
I mean, this is call them an air raid team, but really they're just going to be throwing the ball a lot.
Okay. Could be bad for them with the amount of wide receivers they have.
Right. They have a lot of talented wide receivers, a lot of injuries at wide receiver. I think somewhere I was reading that last week they were missing six of their 11 guys, or five of their 11 scholarship receivers in practice.
That doesn't sound good.
I'm interested.
Yeah. Some of them are going to be back. I mean, one of them was like, yeah, he had muscle cramping or something like that.
Interesting new segment called Crow Talks Croots, in which I'm going to now do
sounds
this.
Sounds fun.
Yeah. This is maybe the only episode of it, in which I'm going to compare the 24/7 composite rankings, thanks to a guy that Ryan found on Twitter.
This is one of the only top teams are going to play in the season that doesn't have top recruits on their
well,
team.
That's funny you say that, Chief. It appears that Auburn outdoes them in a lot of positions, but not all of them.
Hmm.
For instance, quarterback, Auburn wildly out. Auburn is one of the highest in terms of composite quarterbacks.
And that's because we have two former top 50 recruits at quarterback.
And then at running back, a receiver, Oregon barely edges out the Auburn Tigers with a .9 something. That's too small for me to read. Versus Auburn's .89.
Okay. You do some readers over there, crew?
Yeah, I need to leave my glasses on. And then Oregon in the secondary, Oregon's a little bit better as well. Kind of the same margin.
And that's pretty common out in the Pacific Northwest. Usually the good DBs. Teams out there have really good DBs.
They throw the ball a lot.
Yeah.
Now, at the O-line, Auburn and Oregon are dead even.
Right.
From a recruiting standpoint.
Interesting.
Now, what's funny about that is that I feel like Oregon probably doesn't have the same school of thought where Auburn's is. Let's just sign only good players to the defensive line. And then at offensive line, we'll just throw some bags of hamburger.
We'll change some of those really talented
defensive linemen and make them offensive.
It seems like what we've been doing, but Oregon is not doing that and seems to be recruiting about as well. And apparently they have like this very talented offensive line that everyone's talking about.
They do.
Now,
it's a similar situation to Auburn's where it's all the same guys from last year, except for they were all really good last year.
Now, at the D-line, Chief, Auburn has just as big of an advantage as you might think it does. From a 92 is the average to an 87 is a gulf. Wow, is the largest gulf of any position besides quarterback. Oregon might be doing that hamburger meat method on their defensive line, which hopefully
that'll work.
That helps for Auburn.
So really, it's a weakness versus weakness. Their defensive line versus our offensive line. And then strength versus strength, our D-line and their O-line.
I would say their O-line does not have two first-round picks on it. And I think our D-line might have two.
Yeah.
So, and Derek Brown might be a full-grown man.
Oh, yeah, he is.
Might be.
So,
he's got dad strength, man. Come on.
Last year, when we faced Washington, they also had one of the better offensive lines in the country, correct?
They did. And it's a similar situation where they had a experienced,
right,
really good offense as a whole.
I wouldn't be mad if we just played Pac-12 teams opening.
I think we should just move to the Pac-12 is what it sounds like.
Opening game every year. I'd like to play just all the Pac-12 teams. Just run through them all, do home and home with everybody. That should have been our plan.
We've got Cal and UCLA. It was good.
Now, it's true. We did. Remember, Pac-12, what do you think about when you think of Pac-12 team quarterback is so good, probably really good looking? The last
set quarterback, before you went to quarterback, I was thinking about Jason.
Okay, well, when you think about what their offense must have looked like in their last bowl game, and we're supposed to be scared of the offensive line.
And I'm thinking Oregon. Like, just
think I know where this is going.
Their offensive line is so strong, and their quarterback is a top 15 pick. Ryan, you hurt yourself on that?
Yeah, they got a nail sticking out back there.
It's a drywall nail. That's going to get you.
Yeah,
all right. Out.
Yeah. I'll see back here, man. Come on.
They played the 2018 Red Box Bowl, which I learned there was a Red Box Bowl.
It's in San Francisco, I believe, isn't it?
The 49ers just death rattle of a stadium. It is Levi Stadium. And they won that game against the Michigan State Spartans 7-6.
Man, barn burner.
Michigan State has a tendency to do that to you, but
they did not score a single point until the fourth quarter when they threw a touchdown pass.
Are either one of you worried about this game?
I mean, I was until reading this.
I was until about the last few weeks, and then I just sort of started feeling like
I've kind of been saying I was – last year, okay, for comparison, last year the Washington game I thought was a 100% toss-up. Like, I had zero idea how that was going to go. And I think the game kind of reflected that and went down the very end.
It did. You're right.
This year, I've been way more comfortable about this game. Hey, but
it's scary because we're starting a freshman quarterback.
Are they supposed to be able to run the ball at all?
They, They've got two decent tailbacks. They're not super.
I feel like Brady's about to tell us,
guys. Brady ran the ball 27 times against Michigan State for 37 yards. Yeah.
Wow. This offensive line is supposed to be one of the best in the country?
You got to get more than 2 yards a carry, guys.
Man, that is not good.
Whoa. That's not quite 2 yards a carry. Now, in college, I'm sure, I don't know how many, they must have got some sacks. I don't know.
I mean, we're not trying to make fun of Oregon here. That's not what we're doing.
No, but I am saying that I'm so proud of past Drew for not watching the 2018 Red Box Bowl.
If you're going to watch a low-scoring bowl game, watch the Cheez-It Bowl. Way more fun.
Cheez-It Bowl, good night.
You know, that I didn't even know that Red Box was still around. Oh, much less they had a bowl game.
I didn't know people have used it until the other day when my buddy Phil was like talking about how he's waiting on Avengers Endgame to get to Red Box. And I was like, Red Box?
Red Box.
People use Red Box? He was like, yeah.
I feel like when you get the first time you get a bowl game is usually the death knell of a company. You kind of like, oh, they're reaching here.
Okay.
Almost like, you know, Beefo Brady's did a bowl game for a little while.
I forgot about the Beefo Brady's bowl. Which is now, I think, the Gasparilla.
That's the Bad Boy Mowers Gasparilla Bowl.
Bad Boy Mowers Gasparilla Bowl. I hope Auburn plays in that bowl at some point. But I kind of do. Just because it'd be the end of a terrible year.
Yeah, I'm not really that uncomfortable with this game.
This is a game where Auburn should be favored in. We are favored in, even though we're lower.
It feels like we should be able to go push.
Are we 11 point favorites? Is that right?
It's 3. No, not 11.
11
points. Man, no.
In our hearts,
So this is one of the cases where analytics don't really line up with the human polls. You know, Auburn's like a top 10 team in most of the computer polls. Yeah, Oregon's mid-20s, but AP poll was kind of flipped in that scenario.
How good are they? Here's the thing. Can this team, Oregon, move weight out of the way? Because if they cannot do that, Auburn will win the game.
Yeah, I feel like we should be able to push them around.
Yeah, I don't think Oregon hangs, you know, a huge number on us and just blows us out. If we lose, it's, we couldn't move the ball.
Either. Yeah, Bo Nix struggles really bad. We have to bring Joe in and he doesn't do any better. And we just,
I don't think that's going to happen, but if it doesn't go well, I think that is what happens.
All right, so let's do that then real quick because we're getting close to the end of this F, I think.
I mean, next week we have real, actual football to talk about.
Auburn wins if, fill in the blank. Oregon wins if, fill in the blank. That's classic sports call-in. What do you think it's going to take for Auburn to win this game? Call in.
Are you going to hang up?
We'll hear you. Hey, Chief, what do you think it's going to take for Auburn in this game? I don't know. I'm going to hang up and listen.
That's exactly.
Ryan, long time, first time. Sorry for Germans, but what's it going to take for Oregon in this game?
Herbert's going to have to look like one of the top quarterbacks in the country. And he's going to have to beat the Auburn defense.
Okay.
I mean, it's not a pedestrian, 250 yards isn't going to do it. He's going to have to – the blocking's going to have to hold up. He's going to have to throw for 300-plus. And I think we're going to be in a bad spot next week if we're talking about an Oregon win.
Yeah.
Because that means the defense didn't look good and the offense what we're expecting the offense is.
Yeah, that's how I feel about it. I think the defense could still play fairly well, but we just – for some reason, Bo Nix just has a meltdown. I think that's the other thing. But if our defense is as good as we think it is, we should be able to absorb a couple of interceptions or something.
Well,
like
and we're in the day and age now where a good defense isn't going to hold a good offense to 7 points.
Right.
You have to expect Oregon's going to put up 24.
Yeah.
And so can the offense beat that? And
really, they only put 7 against the
Michigan like State I said, Spartans. Michigan State has a skill where they can bring you down to their level.
How is that possible? They're 7-5 last year in a Big Ten that wasn't that great.
Yeah. And they don't always do it. It's kind of like a wild card sort of thing.
Michigan State happens at random. Had one player drafted last year. It was a 4th round pick. It was an offensive lineman.
Man.
Guys, that is horrible.
We're, like he said, we're going to be in a real bad place if we lose to
Michigan. Michigan State lost games 7-6 and 9-6 in the same year. Gosh, I would literally quit watching this sport if I was a Michigan State fan. And we lost two games, and two out of the last three games were 9-6 to Nebraska and 7-6 to Oregon.
They're a basketball school.
I guess.
Yeah, I guess.
We went to Final Four like we did last year.
Yeah, we're a basketball
school. Elite Eight, sorry.
Yeah, we're a basketball
school. Yeah.
Yeah, so do we want to talk about what else is going on in football at all?
God, they had five games where they didn't get double digits.
That's
horrible.
Do we want to talk about the?
Do we talk about Week Zero? I had a lot of fun.
The
with those
drunkest
two games.
Game I've ever seen in my life last night.
Not the Miami.
Not
game.
That I was drunk. I was completely sober. The game was super drunk.
So the Florida Miami game before this. This is the primetime game.
Yeah. And oh, I didn't watch the. I didn't watch.
I watched a decent amount. Oh, okay.
It wasn't on where it was. I was.
Right.
I watched Florida.
Florida Miami was weird, and it was very Week Zero. If Florida doesn't get any better than they looked, we should not have much trouble with that game.
I was pretty excited to see that they were not very good last night.
They didn't tackle well. They didn't do anything on offense very well.
Play calling was bizarre, as seen by Steve Spurrier's face.
Yeah. And in the last drive for Miami, they kind of traded scores in the second half. Miami's down 4. And they had a 4th and 30, I believe?
It's 4th and 29. 28, I believe that's what it was.
The ball is not close to being a catch. Not that it was uncatchable, but it was not going to be caught. And they
I can't remember
they threw a flag for pass interference.
I can't remember if that's the one also where if he had caught it, it would have been...
It would have been short either way.
It would have been short, and there was a guy there to tackle him.
Yes.
But,
and the receiver took a shot in the back of the head, too, from the
nailed
defender's knee. Yeah. Like, it wasn't a target or anything. But pass interference on 4th and 30 keeps the game alive. They get another pass interference.
It was 4th and 15 or 20 at that point.
Another pass interference to give them another first down. And so at the end of the game, they get to the 25-yard line, maybe.
They should have scored. Like, there's no reason Miami shouldn't have scored. They had 1,000 chances at the end, and they just
also didn't move the ball the last.
No, they just kept fumbling it. Yeah. And
on the last play of the game, the quarterback just takes his eye off the ball.
Snap. And this was all set up after they'd been stopped on 4th down.
Yeah,
and then Florida threw an interception immediately right after with 4 minutes.
Yeah, I was watching this game last night. That was the wildest way to end for Florida defense. Yeah.
Was the wildest game of
my beloved Canes did not fare well last night.
It was the wildest way to end a game until about 3 hours later.
Yeah, when Hawaii,
Arizona, Hawaii, that game kicks off super late.
How did that?
It's a game in Hawaii.
Probably still going on.
No, I understand that.
Yeah,
I don't know how time zones work, but my question was, how did Khalil Tate? What Ryan's referring to is it comes down to the last play of the game.
Yeah. Hawaii's been up the whole game.
Arizona has come on back.
Yeah.
They're down a touchdown. Touchdown wins the game, my fault.
No. Goes to overtime.
Okay.
Down seven.
Khalil Tate, a quarterback who is known in the college football internet for being fun to watch.
And he's more Nick Marshall than Nick Marshall was.
Yeah, because Khalil Tate, not a great thrower of the football. So... famously also didn't want to run triple option when they were – it was floated out there they were going to hire –
may have prevented them from hiring Niumatalolo.
Yeah, hiring Navy's coach. And he tweeted, I don't want to run triple option.
Wow.
Yeah. Until they got Kevin Sumlin. And Kevin Sumlin has not been good there. And last night they had a chance to go to overtime and he pulls it and runs.
From the 35-yard line, he – Khalil Tate bounces out of the pocket.
Clock is running down. They've got to throw. It's the last play of the game.
He scrambles out of the pocket, tucks it, and he looks like he might have a chance to score.
Makes two guys miss, and he's down the sidelines going to score a touchdown.
Cuts back up the middle, gets to the 1 yard line. The defensive tackle who he had juked out in the backfield has chased him down and tackles him on the one. Ball game.
Game over. Hawaii wins.
Wow.
What a game.
As I forget who tweeted I forgot who tweeted this, but somebody said this was the most Friday Night Lights shit I've ever seen in a college football game.
I can't wait for Kevin Sumlin to be our offensive coordinator next year. It's gonna be so good.
So week zero was crazy.
Yeah,
a lot of fun. So anybody who says, "Oh, we don't really need these football games early," you're wrong.
Kurt, did you watch Villanova Colgate?
No, I saw the helmets Colgate wore, and then I saw Clint Richardson, who is an American treasure, tweet out the Auburn version of those that just said "Barn" on a B A R N, and they were terrific. And now I need that to happen so badly. Apostrophe B A R N in script on the side of Auburn's helmets is all I need Auburn to do forever now.
Man.
Do we want to talk about what else is going on in week one, just real quick as we wrap up?
Besides me, maybe put some drywall up in this house. I don't know. Yes.
So we get football Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
There's
like a
ton of games. You get Georgia Tech Clemson if you want to see a bloodletting in week one. You also get the Holy War later that night, Utah BYU. Always a stupid.
Guys, I want Tech to beat Clemson so bad.
Oh, it would be a ton of fun, but no.
Never,
not going to happen.
Never in a million years.
Tech and Clemson used to be a good rivalry.
Yeah. Tech
and
the heyday of Paul Johnson. Look, Tech has won
I think this new
national
coach.
Championship in the last 30 years.
Unlike anybody else in the state.
I think, well, held on. Georgia Southern has won a lot of national championships.
There's a bunch of games Friday, but probably, I mean, if you're wanting to watch football, you can watch football, but if you're not looking for a specific matchup.
If you aren't a degenerate, you probably aren't watching
football. I'm going to be watching football Friday.
Of course you are.
Yeah, it's Tulsa, Michigan State, Wisconsin, USF.
Man, Tulsa, Michigan State? I can watch a team that didn't score 10 points five times last year play Tulsa?
Crow, I've got a game for you. Colorado State, Colorado's Friday night.
Oh, that is a fun game. You know that
they used to be a lot bigger back when I was a lot younger.
They used to both be pretty good.
Yeah.
Now they both are terrible.
Yeah.
But they
one of them more so than the others, from what I understand.
I think Colorado's going to be okay.
It's one of those G5, P5 robberies.
Colorado's cheating real hard, right? Isn't that what happened? Yes. New Heisman was there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what happened. They won a national championship.
Under Coach Mack. A different guy.
That's right. Okay.
There's a 30 for 30 about it. It's really good. They had
I'll watch that when I get Disney Plus in November.
Slash, didn't they? Wasn't that the
guitarist?
No, it was the quarterback Slash. Played for the Steelers.
I only know the Guns N' Roses guitar player. Man, nice Paul Ryan. Look at that.
I know.
Is that like a deep cut?
No, it's not.
Pretty famous person.
Well,
here's what something that we should take from.
I should have asked you what band he played for. Then
Guns N' Roses.
Why well, said
guys.
Out loud.
Oh, well, I didn't even know.
Colorado has a group of students that run to Fort Collins, where CSU is, and CSU has a group of students that run to Boulder. And there's some sort of like, if they leave at the exact same
time. Now, where is Golden, Colorado, in relation to
Golden, Colorado is south, maybe actually due south of Boulder.
Listeners, for those of you that don't know, Golden, Colorado is known for its great beer.
Yeah, sure. So Denver is south of both of those cities, but I think they also may like run to Denver or something. There's a lot of running involved because it's the first game of the year, so the weather is great in Denver.
Pretty high altitude out there, huh?
Yeah,
that would suck.
In Mile High City.
What's funny about that is that both schools go south to play their rivalry game. It's not close to really either of them, or like not like in the middle or anything. It's like kind of weird geographical thing, but it's Denver. It's Mile High. It's a nice stadium.
That's cool.
Yeah. It's not ever full. I lived in Denver for 5 years. I don't think it was ever sold out.
Okay.
It's the NFL stadium.
Maybe when Peyton was there.
It didn't snow one year. Why did I think it snowed? There's no way it snowed. It's way too early. It's August. Yeah.
Yeah. It's still hot out there.
So that's the one to go to, though. If you were like one of those people who wants to hit college football games.
Yeah.
Go to that one because those two teams and fan bases really don't like each other at all.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Opposite types of people.
Yeah. I would think.
Who's the Auburn and who's the Bama in that situation?
Well, CSU is the ag school.
So we're CSU.
But there really isn't a Bama.
So what's Colorado?
Colorado.
Because Boulder is not Tuscaloosa.
And there
is it a business school though?
And they're both...
it's a really good engineering school.
They're both...
So Auburn's right, but both.
They're both like state names, and they're both...
So yeah. Colorado's kind of the Auburn
in terms of math and engineering, and then Colorado State's the Auburn in terms of...
So they're both Auburn.
Yeah. Except that at Boulder on 420, they closed the campus down.
Oh.
So that anybody who wants to smoke can go smoke on campus. They
don't do very not Auburn.
Or Auburn. Yeah.
Well, depends on where you are in Auburn.
Yeah. There's not really an Auburn in that rivalry. Plus, neither one of them has been any good for a million years.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true. Anybody good playing on Friday?
On Friday, yeah, no, those are the big games.
Oh. That's the one to watch.
There's probably 10 FBS games.
Jackson will probably start. They may have started this. No, they didn't start. My dad was telling me he was going.
Maybe go to a high school game Friday night.
On Saturday before the Auburn-Oregon game, there's going to be a lot of...
Actually, Jacksonville does usually start this week.
Yeah.
Why didn't Dad?
Go get him, Cox.
No, so on Saturday when you're getting ready for the Auburn game, it's going to basically be a lot of channel surfing to see who's going to screw up. There's not a ton of marquee games early in the day, but yeah, there's Eastern Washington versus Washington. There's
Washington.
Georgia Southern versus LSU.
Washington.
Let's see.
6 foot.
Northern Iowa versus Iowa State, which Iowa State's ranked. Uh-huh. Interesting. You can. Is Malik Willis eligible this year?
Who is this?
Malik Willis.
Yeah, I think so.
Liberty. He's playing at Liberty. They're playing Syracuse. That's at 6 p.m.
Maybe he'll have some highlights this year that I could repurpose for classic. Yeah. Gotten it.
There's the body clock game, Northwestern versus Stanford.
Why is that?
The what?
The body clock game. So this, body this is. You don't know the story? I think this was back in like the first year of the playoff. Stanford was like a top 10 team, and they went. Let's see. Stanford and Northwestern played. And I want to say Stanford lost, but it was like the only loss they had up until like late November.
Okay.
And their excuse was that, well, the time zones were different. We just weren't ready to play. And maybe they were playing a...
This Northwestern.
I forget how the time zones work.
This Northwestern coach stinks.
Fitzgerald's still
anti-union, yeah.
I really don't like him in the least. The guy thinks that no one goes to the games because we're all on our phones too much.
And was very active in the anti-union.
People don't go to games, Pat, because it's 9,000 degrees. You can't drink. And when you go to home, your house, there's all of those things.
Yeah.
It's not 9,000 degrees.
Crow, if you want to see...
You missed a Thursday night game, right?
What else did I miss on Thursday?
Jacksonville State plays CeeLa.
See who?
CeeLa.
Oh, Southeast Louisiana?
Yeah.
CeeLa?
CeeLa. His wife.
Oh, okay.
Or sister.
Ryan, when I say the word body massage, what comes to mind?
Can we talk about that on a podcast?
What'd you say?
Something I need.
No. Do you not remember the G.I. Joe dubbed videos from the early internet?
Yes. Yeah.
My mind was going towards Robert Kraft.
No. No, Ryan. I'm thinking about Internet 1.0.
Oh, the glorious days.
This is something called ebombsworld.com. That I was thinking of.
Crow, if you want to see Mississippi State do something stupid, they play Louisiana Lafayette in New Orleans at noon on Saturday.
I think they're just called Louisiana now.
I don't know. It still says ULL on the NCAA.
They're going to lose.
In the Superdome.
Yeah, it's Louisiana. I noticed that on the helmet counter.
That's what they...
On the NCAA website, it's ULL.
They're trying to make fetch happen here. That's what it's
but I,
also at noon, you've got Ole Miss and Memphis. Memphis very likely will win this game.
I really hope that Memphis wins.
We've got somebody at Memphis, don't we?
What do you mean?
No, Asa Martin went to Memphis. Like,
he's not eligible, though.
Oh, yeah.
Transferred to FAU and then to Memphis.
I know, he transferred to Miami.
That's how I Miami, got sorry. To Memphis.
Good Tom T. Hall song.
Walking in Memphis.
Oh, yeah.
James Madison is a really good FCS team playing a really not good at West Virginia.
James Madison. Let's go Dukes.
They won.
They beat Virginia Tech.
Didn't they win the FCS this last year?
They may have. They've been like a top five team every year.
Yeah.
Played West Virginia in Neil Brown's first game.
How
that goes.
Neil Brown
from Troy. Yeah.
Interesting.
That's two
I have a soft spot in my heart for West Virginia.
Are they still running the Tony Franklin system at Troy?
They're running Chip Lindsey's system now.
Right.
Yeah.
South Carolina UNC's at 3:30.
Are they? Chip Lindsey's at Kansas, isn't he?
No, he's a head coach at Troy.
Went to Kansas for like 2 seconds. Right?
Yeah, and then he got a head coaching job at Troy, and you know who his offensive coordinator is? Ryan Pugh.
And then Les went from, I'm hiring the up-and-coming guy to my offensive coordinator, to just like, I'm hiring this Same old, same old.
He hired one of the guys who used to play with him, or used to coach
who is the Kansas OC?
While you're looking that up, I'm going to give you one more recommendation. I'm going to give you one more recommendation for a channel flipping game and okay. commercials of the Auburn game. Boise's going to Florida State. Or I think they're playing in Jacksonville, but Boise's playing Florida State.
That sounds fun.
Very good chance Boise has their way with Knowles.
Sounds fun.
Doug Meacham.
Oh,
he's the offensive coordinator at the University of Kansas.
I don't know that name, Ryan.
No, that's not true. That's not true. He was. The Google's wrong. Sorry, Ryan, keep going.
Google probably doesn't care much about Kansas football right
Les
now.
Literally no one.
Les Koenig, K-O-E-N-N-I-N-G.
Don't know that name.
He was the running back coach at Southern Miss the last 2 years.
Oh. So we faced him.
So it's a step down.
Yeah. It is
Kansas OC, if you ask me. Yes.
Yeah.
That's all right. That's about it. I mean, there's Houston, Oklahoma on Sunday and Notre Dame, Louisville on
Monday. Well, I'm going to be watching Everton try not to blow it again this weekend during some of this football. So.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Well, and that's going to do it for us on this episode.
Oh, yeah. We didn't. We want to do predictions for this game.
We can do that next week, can't we? Oh, no. We can do it this week because this week.
We all think they're going to win, right?
Yeah. I mean, are we even score predictions? Or
I don't know.
Auburn wins 38-17.
Woo, 35-34. That's all.
Not a big win.
That's my standard prediction for anything.
Man, people be mad. We are all this all.
No, that's not my actual prediction.
I'll say 34-24.
I was just trying to add up to a number there.
Very nice, Chief.
I hope Josh Dubb is writing these down.
42.
Wow.
17.
So you're taking 38-17 and going
42-17. Oh, okay. Not as nice.
Oh, no, we're not going to let them score 27 points in this round.
All right. In the words of Pat Dye.
Oh, well, no.
Let's do it this week.